John chapter 4. Yep, how can it be? And how can this be in this text when a single in on a phrase that I've heard many times, and I got to thinking, how can this be? Because we often, when we gather together, we talk about God being independent of all creatures. He's under constraints by no one. Nothing. He's independently sovereign, independently holy. He doesn't need our hands. He doesn't need our help. He is God. He is Jehovah God. And yet, we'll see this passage here and expand upon it. Verse 1 of John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he, that is Christ, must needs go through Samaria. Must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. We'll stop there. Our text specifically states that Jesus Christ, and this is written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, must needs go through Samaria. That is, he was of necessity to go through Samaria. Or as the word is, binding. It's a binding thing. It was a binding thing for him to go that way and not another. He was constrained. Now see, that's what we know. God is, like I said, he's independently holy. No one has any strings on him or control over him. He and Christ does as he does for the Father's glory, that which was predestinated from before the world was. But it says in our text in verse 4 that Christ must needs. He was constrained. He was bound to go through Samaria and not go anywhere else at this particular point. Why? Well, we could read the latter part of the story and see that there was one of his elect was there at the well. And in verses 7 through 30, we have the lesson of her divine salvation full of purpose and intent. So that's the first thing. He must needs go because there was an elect sinner there that was going to hear the words, see that she was a sinner herself, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. I've got 11 other things that other needs be. What are other needs be's are found in the scriptures concerning our blessed Lord? What are some other constraining doctrines, constraining thoughts, binding, as we like to think him, and he's full and free, and he is. That's true. And yet so is this. So, like the song said, how can it be? How can God be just and yet justify the ungodly? Well, God has his way. He has his way. Secondly, another needs be was that Christ was to be born of a virgin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ was born by a virgin. Nobody else was. Not Mary, not Joseph, not anybody. He was born under the law and yet without sin. Christ must needs be born, as the scriptures foretold, of his birth. So Isaiah, we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Christ had to be born a virgin. Chapter 9 and verse 6, the passage that we're probably more familiar with. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Christ, secondly, must needs be born of a virgin. Thirdly, also, Christ must needs fulfill all Old Testament types and pictures and shadows concerning himself in the ultimate salvation of every one of his church, of his bride. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse, starting in verse 25. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought up the child Jesus for to do him after the custom of the law, he took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He quotes Old Testament, Isaiah 42, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be greatly wondered, or shall be spoken against. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. But the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ must needs fulfill all Old Testament types, all Old Testament pictures and shadows concerning himself and the ultimate salvation of his people. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This whole book is concerning Christ. So he must needs fulfill all these things. Again, fourthly, he must needs satisfy every ordinance for and against his chosen people in order to satisfy justice and thusly glorify God the Father. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 2, 3, and 4. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 3. Christ must needs satisfy every ordinance for or against us. Romans 3, verses 24, 25, and 26. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by Christ's grace through the redemption, God's grace, but through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Fifthly, similar to this previous point, we must have not only our sin removed, but Christ's perfections or his righteousness imputed. Therefore, he must needs accomplish this for us as well. We're in Christ Jesus, we're made the wisdom, sanctification, and righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. And verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. We not only must have sin removed as far as the east is from the west, but we must have Christ's righteousness. I said this year, you know, this is how I phrase it. Not only we must have the absence of the negative, but we must have the presence of the positive. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And lastly, in this needs be, in this fifth point, Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. It's like that parable, you know, if somebody goes into a house and he sweeps out and casts out the devils, but that's all he does, and then when he leaves the house, they come back and they're worse off. If you just... you know, if it's just sin, 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 but we have to have the Christ's righteousness. Sixthly, Christ must needs be a man, flesh of our flesh, one who can suffer and will suffer as us and yet be God. He must be really humankind. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, where if you've heard that it should come, and even now, already now, is in the world. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, flesh, and was made in the likeness of man, And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ must needs, he was constrained. He was bound up to be a man, to be a man. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained and a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in the faith and verity. The man, Christ Jesus. Didn't say the angel. Didn't say man-like. The man, Christ Jesus. Seventhly, Christ must needs be one that we can lay all our hope and peace and comfort and everlasting life upon. He must be reliable. We must be able to lay everything upon him. Everything. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 18. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Psalms chapter 71. Psalm 71. And verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. We need someone who is absolutely reliable. He must needs be this way. Because if there's any variation in any of these, he is not a fit redeemer. He's not a fit savior. Psalms 119 and verse 81. Psalms 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. We faint oftentimes because we're flesh. We're flesh and blood. We faint oftentimes, always. It doesn't take much. Oh, but there's hope in his word. There's hope in the word of God, and there's hope that he is the very word. Well, let's just turn to Psalm 130. The whole chapters is about he being our hope and our peace and our life, our comfort. Psalms 130, speaking of the death and sufferings of Christ. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, should mark iniquity, who can stand? Who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel, let the people of God, his chosen, his remnant, his bride, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This not only is he must needs be our hope and our stay, but he is steadfast and he is unmovable. Eighthly, he must needs be able to tenderly and compassionately, without fail, assist us in our daily pilgrimage. What good is a Savior who redeems us and then sends us out and says, you're on your own? He's not that way. He must needs do everything for us. Philippians chapter 2, and I know we're familiar with this passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. He must needs be able to tenderly and compassionately, without fail, assist us in our daily pilgrimage. Ninthly, he must needs be our sustenance, whether it's food or clothes or things that we physically need day to day. Basically, he must be the sustainer of our life. We have needs, we have jobs, we have to pay rent, we have to pay taxes to Caesar. He must needs do all these things. Psalms 146. Sometimes we overlook this. Aren't you glad food tastes good? Why? Because of the Father's compassion. We have clothes. We were naked once and he clothed Adam and Eve. They tried to clothe themselves, which is what religion is trying to do today. But it's by grace you save through faith and that not of yourselves. Any clothing that we have is going to be ripped off. He's clothed us with the person and work of Jesus Christ. But he also sustains us. He also sustains us. Psalms 146 verses 5, 6, and 7. Happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heavens and earth, the sea, and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord loosens the prisoners. He gives food to the hungry. I know we fret about where the next meal is going to come from, and oftentimes when we get hungry, we think about, I'd like to eat. He'll take care of that. He takes care of all these things. He says in another place, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do we need food? Do we need rent? Yeah, we need these things. He shall provide them. So even the smallest detail, he must needs do this for us. Tenthly, he must needs send his people, the Holy Spirit, to show us the Father, to show us the Son, the way of grace, the way of mercy, and the way of salvation. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, says Christ, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How? And I know we've memorized a lot of stuff. I still got things in my head from high school and college. I still got music. I like music. I can remember stanzas, lyrics, but the word is more difficult. But he causes us to remember these things. Why? Because he sent us. He must needs send us the Holy Spirit. He did. Divine illumination. We cannot find him. He must find us. And 11th, or lastly, which there's more, but I'm sure there's more. He must needs supply all our all in all. He must be our pearl of great price. He must be our life and everything. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, Christ in us. Christ in us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He must needs supply. Or all in all, He must needs be the pearl of great price to us, our life, our everything. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. This is what it is to be a believer. This is the supplies that we have. We didn't help with any of these. He did it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure because Christ saw fit to be bound up to make it so for us. And closing, turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The believer is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And you could say He constrained Himself to do so. God was constrained to do these and more for His people. All these decrees, all these purposes, all these actions were needed to redeem and keep us unto God. Sin, says Hebrew, Christ put away sin. Sin indeed is a hard thing to put away. But Christ did it. He became it. And He must do it. I say to all those who know beyond all shadow of a doubt, He had to do this. Because John 5, 15 verse 5 says, without Him, we can do nothing. So, He had to become all this in order for one sinner to be saved. And as the love of Christ constrains us to do what we do, you could say the love for His people constrained Christ. It made Him must needs be to accomplish our salvation and glorify His beloved Father. Knowing this, may we fall down and worship Him and render under Him all praise and all glory to His name. Bruce, would you close us?